going to be, we have a number of them, and we have some young men who are going to distribute a little memento, something to write with. And if it doesn't write, come back and we'll give you another one. If you hold up your hand, if you're a first-time visitor, we won't embarrass you, we'll just let you hold your hand up. Up here at the front. Four right up here, I think. Okay, welcome, welcome, welcome. Want you to remember us. There's also a brochure outside you might pick up to learn all about us. Maybe more than you want to know. Okay. Announcements? Speak into the. Speak into it.
Fisher. They have visited here at least once. really intended to be here last Thursday night for communion, but he ended up in the hospital. It's pretty serious, and we have to keep him and his family aware.
Peggy Donovan's father, Bill Bradley, is
with strange and sweet perfume. Everywhere drove shadows from the room.
Please remain standing for the call to worship. We gather to worship as witnesses. We gather to worship as witnesses. We gather to worship as witnesses. We gather to worship as witnesses.
Let's all turn in our hymnals now to hymn 217. Christ the Lord is with us. Today we sing.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Son of men and angels say, Alleluia. Praise your voice and triumph high. Alleluia. Sing ye heaven and earth reply. Hallelujah! Rise again, our glorious King. Hallelujah! Where, O death, is now thy sting? Hallelujah! Rise. Hallelujah! Where, O victory, O faith, hallelujah! God's redeeming work is done, hallelujah! Fought the fight, the battle won. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids him rise. Hallelujah. Christ has opened paradise. Hallelujah. So we now where Christ hath led. Hallelujah. calling our exalted head. Hallelujah. Made like him we rise. Hallelujah. Ours across the gray black sky. Hallelujah. Bow with me as we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come rejoicing today that the grave could not hold Jesus, but that you raised him up to live forever. Lord, we thank you for the hope that is ours, because Christ lives, we too shall live. Thank you, Lord, for sending him to pay for the sin that would bring death and would separate us from you. But thank you, Lord, for sending him to forgive us and redeem us and to pay the penalty of our sin. And Lord, as we come this morning, we just rejoice that our sin could not hold him, but that you raised him up to new life. He paid the penalty. It was finished. It is finished. And we come today rejoicing. Thank you. Praise be unto you. And we offer our prayer and our worship in the name of Jesus, now coming to pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. We have something special. And we have a special testimony this morning as part of our expression of faith. Ted.
Church is never fuller than on Easter Sunday. Some of you may know, in February, my oldest sister died at 50 years old. We still don't know what happened to her. And for years and years, we prayed for her. She was a boomer and shaker, and a whole lot of money, more money than I'll ever make. She was married to a Unitarian church. And a Unitarian church, if you're not familiar, is full of people who believe that Jesus is one of them, not the only one. So for years, my sister was one of them. And 7 years ago, I got a phone call that she was on her deathbed. She prayed through the night, and I was alone, it wasn't there. The rest of my family was with her. They told us she was there, she was going to make it. And the woman who had lost her mother that day prayed with me on the phone for her. It wasn't her physical healing that I prayed for today. It was her spiritual healing. After that moment, she said, "All right, I'm through with it." She accepted Jesus. And so my entire family, all my siblings, my parents, and most of my family are Christians and believers. But they're not just once a year, you know, church goers. They love the Lord. Now, when you hear about Jesus dying for our sins and saying, "I'm the only one," and today we celebrate his resurrection, my comfort today is that my sister Renee is resurrected. It's real time for her in history. And even more so, I'll never forget that this day would have been a tribute to her. So, resurrection means a lot more to us than it is, because it's something we all know faith to each other. But if you believe that Jesus is the only way and understand what faith is about, and death cannot hold you either. So I just want to share that with you. And just, if you will, keep my family in the prayers. My parents are probably a little different than I am, but the resurrection is real. It's just as real as all of us as it was for Jesus on the day.
Amen.
I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
A call to confession. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sin.
We love surprises, but this is the greatest of all. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Just when we give in to the forces of darkness and death, there you come again. Roll away the stone. Whatever men may say, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. You ask me how I know he all the stormy blast, the day of his appearing will come and last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me. Now away, he lives, I'm using to him power. He lives. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christ, and lift up your voice and sing. to hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. Another is so loving, so good and kind. He lives salvation to the heart. He lets me know I know He is. He
Jesus.
would her please stay in the sanctuary because it just ended.
There's some more room right over here. There you go. There we go. Come on, girl. Y'all can come right over here. Kylie. There you go. That's everybody. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Beth Andrea.
Thank you. Friday, my husband called me a tornado central. And he likes to make fun of me because when there's bad weather, you know, I want to know where all my little chickens are and what I mean by all my chickens. It's, you know, people that I, you know, my daughter and my grandchildren and my son and their spouses and my brother and his family. And this time I happened to be watching the news and see the tornado coming. And I knew it was headed straight for most of them. And so I was able to get everybody on the phone and talk to them and find out where they were. But you know what? And Ted, I just want to tell you, I know what you're talking about. You know, the Lord did not promise us that we will always be safe here on earth because this is not our home. But the Lord did promise us that as believers in Christ, we would have the peace and the joy of knowing when it's our time, and we've all got a time that's coming, we're going to be with Him. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be with the risen Savior. And that's what Easter is all about. So, you know, even though I got to talk with all of mine, find where they were and everything, the main thing was praying, because I knew even if they were taken from here and I didn't have a reunion with them again here, that there would be another reunion coming, even a greater reunion, which makes me think about the last words that Christ spoke to his disciples, not the last words, but the Great Commission in Matthew 28. You'll get your parents to help you look at that and talk to you about it. What it tells us is, go out among all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and teach them what I have taught you, the commandments, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what this is all about. Jesus died for us on the cross. He was buried, and he rose again. He did not stay in the grave, and that's what gives us the hope and the joy and the peace of knowing that whatever we face here in the long run, the main thing is that we share the Great Commission, which is the good news. Our faith about Jesus Christ. So, in situations like we had on Friday, we will know, even if they're taken from us here, we're going to see them again in glory. And there's nothing more important. This morning, I felt really good because I had all my kids at the house and the grandchildren and everything, and it was a really nice feeling. And Kathleen and I went to feed the horses this morning, and Kathleen will be 3 at the end of this month, and she sang He Lives. So I've sang He Lives twice today, and I just think that's so wonderful because that's true. He lives, and you know how we know He lives? How do we know? Where do we have Him? We have Him right here in our heart. But we don't want to just keep Him right here. We want to share Him, right? We want Him to be in everybody's heart. And the only way that's going to happen is for us to go out and tell the good news that we know. And what is that good news? He lives. That's right. Let's go up and sing with Miss Nellon.
Adults want to find 5, 7, 9, and be with us on the second verse. And I'll have to take on the Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Heaven's gate to open wide will wash away my sin. Let His little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Sharon Bucket.
And Sharon Bucket.
Hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father.
Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my father and your father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
The Word of God for the people of God. There's a great message on the back page, or we call it the fourth page of your bulletin sometimes, but we add about 10 pages inside. So on the back page of your bulletin, there's a meaningful message about the resurrection. I also would call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to read the Apostle Paul's writing to the Corinthian Christians concerning the resurrection. And then read the whole chapter. He kind of goes into much detail about it. Do you believe in the resurrection?
Amen.
I hope to help you improve on that belief, if that's needed or if that's possible. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, I hope that maybe some way, based on what you've heard from the Scripture, what I might say concerning the Scripture and the Holy Spirit, we must not leave out the influence of the Holy Spirit on our lives, on our belief, on our thinking, that the Holy Spirit would enable us or move us or prompt us or whatever it takes for us to believe. I'm convinced, I'm not the only one, I'm in agreement that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the central message of the Christian church. That he died, that's important. He paid for our sins that way. But he overcame our sin. He overcame death. God raised him up to new life. What about you and your belief in the resurrection? We say each Sunday, I believe on the third day he rose again. Also in the Apostles' Creed, we say later in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. Jesus being the first fruits of those who sleep in him or those who have died. We believe that people who die with their faith in Jesus will be raised also, that Jesus will come and call them from their grave. If we happen to be alive when he returns, he has promised to take care of us too, just to transform us or translate us and give us a spiritual body and take us to heaven to be with him, that where he is, we may be also. Many people love Jesus, and many people did not love Jesus. You think of those who loved him, and he even questioned, even in their presence, why are you following me? Why do you have such commitment to me? And he would say, Is it because I fed you yesterday and you've come back to be with me today? Did many people love him because he could do good things for them and bless them? That was part of the reason. But can we think of loving Jesus just because He is Jesus. He is God in the flesh. He is our Creator. And then what He has already done for us, who are Christians, who are believers, He has redeemed us from Satan. He has redeemed us from hell. He has forgiven our sin. Jesus was loved by many, but He was also feared and conspired against by many. I said often, and let me say it again, no matter how good you are, somebody don't like you. Somebody hates you. You could be as good as perfect, and somebody won't like you. The example being Jesus, without sin, but people didn't like Him. They still don't like Him. Good as good can be. He was goodness embodied. He can be as bad as you can be, and there's somebody going to love you. I guess that's the hope. Jesus is going to love us no matter how bad we are. But some people, no matter how bad we are, they'll still love us. Jesus, good. He was goodness. Good as good could be, but He was hated by some. So they conspired against Him, and they eventually killed Him. Because of their fear, and because of, I think, their failure to understand who He really was. That He was God in the flesh. Or maybe because they just didn't care. Or maybe because, well, we could go on with many maybes. But because of fear, it wasn't long after He started His ministry that He was betrayed. You know, somebody turns their back on you. Somebody betrays you. What do you think about them? The one that betrayed Jesus was one of those that He had taken into His circle of students that He was going to train, and He was training, He did train, to carry on His ministry. One that He had blessed the most. One of 12. And those who were conspiring against Him convinced this one to betray Him. Good as He was, even one who had lived with Him probably 3 years, he betrayed Him. With a kiss, showing love. What a mockery. After the betrayal, He was arrested. That betrayal, kiss of betrayal, was to indicate which one of this little band of people that He was in the garden. He was arrested. He was tried, if you could call it a trial. Run for a trial. I can't find where He even had a defense attorney. But did He need one? But He didn't do much to defend Himself. And then, while the trial was going on, the one who had proclaimed His allegiance, when Jesus says, "One of you going to betray Me?" He says, "No, not Me, Lord. Not Me. I'll live with You to the end. I'm with You, come flood or torment." Two more words that could go for flood and torment if you want to do that. And you probably know them. I wasn't supposed to know them, was I? Okay, I'm the preacher, have I? Okay. Come, flood or torment. I'll be with you. But when they just looked at Him and said, "Oh, you talk like Him. You got the same accent that He's got. You are from Galilee too. You must be one of His. He had some other followers. What are you doing here?" And this one, and Jesus had 12 that were close to Him. About 120 were following Him. Then there were 12, and then there were 3. And this one, He was one of the 3. He's the one when Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration that got to go with Jesus and meet there with Elijah and Moses. Wow, what a blessing. I bet he came back talking to the other, was it other nine? Boys, you ought to have been with us. You never saw anything like it. We were up on this mountain, and I got to see Moses. Did you see the Ten Commandments last night? I just watched a portion of it, Channel 2. Anybody watching again? Okay, one or two. We watched a portion and then went on and watched something else. But I said, I read the book. Okay. Shouldn't talk like that on Easter Sunday, should we? Okay. He was denied. The one that was close associates, they said, you're one of them. He said, never knew him. Don't know what you're talking about. Don't know that man. Later they came and said, you know him. And he said, you're one of them. Peter said, oh, I don't know him. We're not friends. I'm not his friend. And they came a third time. And then that rooster crowed. And Jesus has said, you'll deny me three times tonight before the rooster crows. And he did. And if you read Luke's version, Luke's explanation of this, he's the one that goes into detail about it. Jesus looked at Peter. And it's moving, if you're movable. Or it's movable, it's moving to me. And then he was crucified. And we say, oh, Jesus was crucified, died on the cross for my sins. And we say that so quickly, and I'm not sure we comprehend or we remember or take into our thinking what happened. His body was nailed to a cross after he was forced to carry that cross through the city streets, up the hill to the place of death. Crown of thorns was placed on his head and Friday night in the stations of the cross. Right over here they had some rose stems and there were some thorns sticking out. So I visited this station of the cross over here. There were seven. This is one of them. And I just was trying to kind of experience something of what Jesus went through on the cross. The thorns. And I took my thumb and kind of pushed on a thorn. But I was very careful not to draw blood. And my blood is thin now because I'm taking all those blood thinners. Might bleed to death right here in church. And then I took that, and they talk about a crown of thorns made and placed on his head. And in some movie, they pushed it down. And you can see pictures of Jesus, portraits of Jesus or paintings where the blood is streaming down his head. So I just... sitting right over there, front row, I just kind of took the thorn, placed it around my head, the front and the back, but I was very careful, again, not to draw blood. Didn't want to hurt myself that much, but wanted to kind of taste, experience what Jesus went through for me. And then they stretched him out on the cross, they drove spikes through his flesh and then raised the cross and probably dropped it into the hole that was prepared for it with the thud. He was crucified. Crucified like a common criminal. Between two criminals. And he was dead. They came back to break his legs. To make sure he died. And they came back and he was already dead. And that was to fulfill scripture that his body bones would not be broken. And he was already dead. So Joseph of Arimathea came and got his body. Him and Nicodemus. That Nicodemus from back in chapter 3 of John. Who went to him by night. And we fussed at Nicodemus for going by night. But Nicodemus hung on even in the shadows. And he was there when Joseph of Arimathea went to bury him. So they took him down and they prepared his body for burial. They wrapped him in linen cloths, one for his head and one for his body, and they buried him. Now they didn't bury him in the ground like we see, but if you go to a mausoleum, you'll see them take this little door off of this space and they'll push the body in there, kind of roll it in, and then seal that up. You've been there. I remember, I guess, the first one I saw there, where that happened. But it was a little cave. It had been dug out for burial and never been used, and they put Jesus in there. Small cave cut out of the rock. It was for somebody's burial, but they had never used it. They were just getting ready, like some of you have bought cemetery plots. I haven't bought one yet. I don't know what that means, but I haven't bought it yet. But they were prepared, but Jesus could bar it because he'll will be there a short while, see. And they sealed the tomb. Sealed it off. It was over. It was over. It was over. Case closed. Jesus was done with. He's out of our way. He's gone. We took care of him, didn't we? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine him saying that? Case was closed. Or was it? Anybody ever watch Cold Case? Cold Case, they think it's over. They think they've gotten away with the crime. But they come back. And they bring more new investigation in. And they look at it again. And they catch them. But then, what do they do at the end? They show you this box and they put all the stuff back in it. All the evidence. Then they put the top on it. And they write on the front. What, case solved? Or case closed? Case closed. Put it on the shelf. Well, they thought that they had put Jesus on the shelf. They thought he was out of their hair. They had no more problem with him. But that was Friday. That was Friday. What about this past Friday? Did you think it was over this Friday, Mike? Elizabeth? Elizabeth thought it was over?
The new beginning.
Patrick and Chelsea were there. And were you there, James, and watching it? Couldn't be over. It was real close to all of you. Thought it was over. You looked outside today, didn't you? What a beautiful day. Can you see the comparison between Friday and today in the weather? And time passes on. Ah. Then came Sunday. It wasn't over. It wasn't over. God raised him up. John tells us about three people who visited the tomb of Jesus on the third day after his burial. And the three different responses. Tracy Hartman, he's a professor at a seminary up in Richmond, Virginia, and I found some thoughts of his. Let me share them. He says, even though they had been with Jesus full time for 3 years, even though they had heard him speak of his own death and resurrection, they surely were not looking for a risen Christ that Sunday morning. In fact, most of them were not looking for anything. Peter, who had kept his distance from the trial and crucifixion, even denying his Lord, everyone but a few of the women had fled the scene of the execution. They had ran on the Sabbath, the day after the crucifixion. Tracy Hartman puts it, they were hunkered down. You know what hunkered down means, don't you? They were hunkered down behind the locked doors of the upper room. They were fearful that the Jews would come for them next. Mary was the first one to the tomb. She ventured out on that first Sunday morning after the crucifixion, but she didn't go looking for a risen Savior. She went to look for a dead among the dead. She went to the graveyard to visit the grave of Jesus, a dead Jesus. She was a grieving follower of Jesus, the crucified Jesus. She was going to anoint his body one last time for burial, the final burial. They hadn't had time to do a proper job on Friday. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had taken some spices and put on the body, and they had wrapped it very hurriedly because they had to get through before 6 o'clock or before sundown. And she was going to complete the work. She was hurt. She was confused. She was no doubt wondering how it had all gone so badly and so wrong so quickly. We got three people. We got Mary, and then we've got Peter, and we've got the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And let me say to all of you, this gets personal now, I hope. Everybody doesn't take the same path to salvation or to a faith in Jesus. The Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus. He got stricken down and was blind for a few days. Matthew, the Apostle Matthew, was sitting at a tax table, and Jesus came by and said, "Come and follow me." Two different ways to come to Jesus. Some people will tell you, you've got to do it just like I did it. The Bible don't teach that. There's different ways to respond to Jesus. If we have three people here and three different responses. Mary, let's look at her first response. Mary was there. She saw the stone rolled away. That's all she saw here. She came to the tomb, found the stone that had been placed over the entrance of the tomb, rolled away. She runs and finds Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and she told them, "They have taken the Lord away from the tomb." Well, these two disciples do. And what's the difference in their response? They both run to the tomb. John is fleet-footed, probably smaller, probably faster. He ran to the tomb and arrives first. But he gets to the entrance of the tomb and he stops. He stops. And here comes Peter. John is looking in and sees the linen cloth lying in place. Peter arrives. I can see him now. Tromp, 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 tromp. Mr. Sharpton is still out recuperating. We used to walk with another minister. Mr. Sharpton and I would walk with another minister, and we'd go over to the mall and walk, and if we got ahead of him, sometimes we'd hear him come, and he'd go. And on the tile floor there at the mall, it was pop, 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 pop. And he'd get there, and he'd get there. I can see Peter like that. I mean, he was big, overgrown, and making all kind of noises back there. He gets there. He doesn't stop at the door. He barges right in. That's part of his personality. Let me at him. Let me in there. He also sees the linen cloth, the head wrapping separate from the body wrapping. And then, after Peter goes in, and John follows. Fred Craddock says that Peter went inside the tomb. Listen to this. Peter went inside the tomb, saw everything, but really saw nothing, and he left. And at this moment, it says nothing about Peter's expression of faith. We don't know when Peter actually came to really put a faith in the risen Jesus. It could have been in the upper room when Jesus came to meet them. It could have been when Peter took some friends and went fishing, and Jesus came and to the seashore, prepared a little breakfast. When they came in, he fed them, and he took Peter off to walk with him. And that's where Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" Asked him three times, and Peter said, "Oh yes, you know I love you." And he said, "Well, feed my sheep and feed my sheep." And that might have been. We don't know. It doesn't ever say just where he really put that faith, but we see him in Acts chapter 2 preaching, and we know he believes in the resurrected Jesus. There's no question. But that disciple that Jesus loved, he went, he paused at the door. He wasn't too quick to go in. He paused at the door, but his response was so different from Peter's. He entered, finally. He saw the evidence that Jesus was alive, and he believed right there. These two go back to their place of lodging. And we get back to Mary. Mary stayed in the garden. I get carried away, and there we are. Mary stayed in the garden while they left. She was stood outside the tomb weeping. Finally, she looked in and she saw two angels, and she had a conversation with them. Then she turned and saw somebody that she thought was the gardener, but it was really Jesus. She asked about the body of Jesus, where she might find him. If you've taken him and hid him, tell me where I might go. This was Jesus with whom she was talking, but she did not recognize him, maybe because of her tears in her eyes. But even having a conversation with angels, she still did not come to believe in Jesus. Or it did not stir her belief to know that he really was alive. Because she turned and said, where did you put the body? She still wanted to find that dead body. And then Jesus spoke to her. Jesus called her by name. That was the one she thought was a gardener. He said, Mary. Mary. Think of Jesus calling your name. Larry, Karen, Patrick, Jordan. Jesus calling your name. Have you heard him calling your name? Jesus spoke Mary's name. And only then does she believe that he is alive. Somebody referred back to John 10, chapter 4, verse 4, chapter 10 of John. He knows his own. Jesus is talking about the good shepherd and being the good shepherd. He knows his own. He calls them by name and they know his voice. He called the name of Mary. He knew her by name and she recognized his voice. Mary. And she said, Teacher. Mary came to faith by the word of Jesus, who is the Christ. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus is calling your name right now. Calling you to faith in him. We've talked about it. His death was to pay for your sin and my sin. He had no sin of his own. And he offers forgiveness for every sin that we have committed. He offers it right now. Here and now. Will you believe and receive forgiveness? His resurrection was for you to live eternally, forever, with him around the throne of God. Will you believe and claim the life that he offers with himself? Amen and amen. 2:16 is the song. Low in the grave he lay, but up from the grave he arose. Maybe your response to Jesus is a public one this morning. I trust that we'd all have our private response. But if it's a public response that God is calling you to this morning, make your way here to the front of the church, and we'll pray with you, and we'll hope to get everything settled between you and God, even before you leave this place. 2:16, verse 1 and 2, if you will.
Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with the mighty fire for his soul. He arose a victor from the